Today we have communion service, and in this service we commemorate the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. And today I want to just look at two incidents that happened in the Last Supper. When we look at these two incidents, we'll think they're not related, but I think they have a lesson for us today in these last days. Let's read about the first incident in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and verse 21. This is taking place at the Last Supper, and we read, "And while they were eating, Jesus said to them, Verily I say unto you that one of you will betray me." The response of the disciples was immediate. We read that in verse 22, "And they were very sorrowful, and began to say to him one after another, Is it I, Lord?" We are told that Judas, who of course was the guilty one, he was taken by surprise, and at first he didn't say anything. And then, after a while, he realized he was the only one who hadn't asked, "Is it I?" So finally, in verse 25, it says, "Judas, who would betray him, answered, Is it I, Rabbi? He said to him, You have said so." Now, I don't want to talk about Judas today, but I want to talk about the other 11 disciples. Doesn't it seem strange to you that they ask the question, "Is it I?" Because didn't they know themselves in their own hearts whether they were thinking of betraying their master? Why should they ask, "Is it I?" Well, when we look at the second incident, we realize maybe it's not that strange after all. For the second incident, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke and read chapter 22. And verses 33 and 34. Luke 22, 33 and 34. This is about the Apostle Peter, the disciple. Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." Of course, we know the end of the story. Peter, full of confidence, turns out that he didn't know his own heart. Later, after the cock crew, Peter would know that Jesus was right. He didn't know himself. Many years later, when John wrote his gospel, we read in John chapter 2 and verse 25, it says about Jesus, when he began his ministry, it said, "He did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man." And of course, Jesus is the one who knows our own hearts better than we do. These two incidents warn us that we may not know our own hearts. The disciples were correct in asking, "Is it I, Lord?" And so, too, we should be asking ourselves, "Is it I, Lord? Is there something in my heart that I don't know?" It's good for us to think about this today, because we're all aware of the warning to the church of Laodicea. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "You say, I am rich, and have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." Once again, here we are confronted with a statement that you do not know what you are really like inside. The message to Laodicea is just aimed at this very state of things in the church. We're a large, organized body. We know that we have the truth. We can feel secure about that, about our knowledge of the Bible. And yet, we may not see that we have a lack in our connection with God. Like Peter, we do not know our own hearts, and we should be asking ourselves, Lord, is it I? Is there something in me? Am I in the Laodicean condition? Am I like the Pharisees who felt so confident in themselves that they thought they were righteous and yet they were so far from the kingdom? Laodicea is like the Pharisees. Read about what Paul said about himself, Romans chapter 7 and verse 24. Here Paul is, in this chapter, he's very introspective. He's thinking about what's inside of him. And in verse 24 he exclaims, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" Paul knew that he was wretched. And remember, wretchedness is the same word that's used in Revelation 3 for Laodicea. Paul knew that he was wretched, but immediately in the next verse, he claims victory through Jesus. And of course, the victory comes after Paul acknowledges that he is wretched. And so, if Laodicea acknowledges that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, they can come to the same place as Paul and claim victory. Tell me, when you read the message to the Laodiceans, why is God rebuking them? Is it because they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Is that why he cannot tolerate them? No. God rebukes them because they don't know that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Because they think they're okay. They have no idea what their inner condition is like. If we know and acknowledge our inner condition, then we can ask God to help us. But if we don't, then he can't do anything for us. Laodicea's condition is hopeless unless it acknowledges its condition. We're all aware of what the unpardonable sin is. The unpardonable sin, when a person continually rejects the pleading of the Holy Spirit. Tell me, in the message to the churches, who is speaking? Let's read Revelation 3:22. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." It is the Holy Spirit speaking to Laodicea. And even though it continues to speak to them, they reject the message because they think they're all right. And that's where they are committing the unpardonable sin. God can do nothing for them. Today, in our communion service, we are being reminded of the sacrifice of Jesus. It is the Spirit who keeps reminding us of our salvation through Christ. And the Spirit is reminding us today to search our hearts to know if we are truly close to Him. Is there a piece of Laodicea in us, even as you sit here in church today? Let's read from the book, The Great Controversy, about what goes on in the minds of the people in the last days before Christ's coming. Here we read in page 619 of the Great Controversy, as Satan accuses the people of God on account of their sins, the Lord permits him to try them to the uttermost. Their confidence in God, their faith and firmness will be severely tested. As they review the past, their hopes sink, for in their whole lives they can see little good. They are fully conscious of their weakness and unworthiness. Satan endeavors to terrify them with the thought that their cases are hopeless, that the stain of their defilement will never be washed away. He hopes so to destroy their faith that they will yield to his temptations and turn from their allegiance to God. Yet, the people of God, even though they are under severe temptation, they can see and hear Satan urging upon them that they are so sinful that God cannot help them. It says, they fear that every sin has not been repented of, and that through some fault in themselves, they will fail to realize the fulfillment of the Savior's promise. They are fearful that they will be unworthy and lose their lives because of their own defects of character. And so, right until the second coming, God's people will be conscious of their weakness and unworthiness. In contrast, the Laodiceans had no idea how unworthy they were in God's sight. They are like the Pharisees, who feel that they are faithful followers, yet how wrong they are. This Laodicean message is really a prophecy that applies to us. Let's be very diligent to make certain that we heed this message. If we are blind and living in a dream world, let us plead with God for sight. If we are poor but think we are rich, then let us take a reality check. If we are wretched, let us not pretend that we are happy. Let's seek the true happiness, the peace in knowing that as we fully surrender our unworthy souls to God, Jesus pleads his blood on our behalf. Let's fully surrender to the working of the Holy Spirit on our hearts today as we go into the communion service. Thank you.